Grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning and welcome to St. Paul Borcher's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we pause in the hustle and bustle of our week to meditate and reflect on the words of Scripture for that day. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reading for today comes from 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in the Sunday snippet from last week, if you were able to watch that one or not, we got to read from 1 John that week as well, and we read the previous chapter. And this week we're continuing that trend of reading through 1 John in these two snippets. And I mentioned in that last week's snippet that 1 John is a different letter from other letters that we see and read from in the New Testament. That it's a little different because it lacks a lot of the characteristics and traits we see in other New Testament letters, even from 2 and 3 John, because it lacks those that opening salutation, that closing goodbye, and we're pretty confident that it's less of a letter and more of a sermon. And because of that, I think it's important to emphasize that as a sermon, John is building up this argument throughout the whole letter, the whole sermon, of what living out Christian living and faith looks like for the daily Christian, right? And that it's as simple as this, that the Christian life, the Christian faith, is this love for God and this love for neighbor. And throughout the whole letter, 1 John uplifts several ways that we see that lived out in our lives today. That it's lived out in a fellowship in Christ that propels us into a fellowship with those in our community and outside of our community. That there is this notion that we see those in our community and outside of our community as a child of God worthy of both love and grace. That we lay our lives down for those in and outside of our community, to help those brothers and sisters that we see in need of help and support, that we see them and we help them. I think all of that's important to mention at the start because it's here in 1 John 5 that we begin his closing arguments. That he again points to this notion of living out this love for God in Christ as a love for the parent and the child. That it's that love which propels us forward to love the children of God whom God first loves. To obey this commandment of loving God and loving neighbor as ourselves. But then it's also in this passage that we come to a verse that I think stands out to me. as weird for a letter, for a sermon so steeped in this language of loving God and loving neighbor. That it comes down to verse 4. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Our faith conquers the world. I find that language odd when we read that with a modern lens of how we understand those words of victory and conquering. Because the way that we see that in our culture today, it's this very competitive language that's being used here, that our society teaches us to always be competing with one another, to achieve that victory, to overcome those whom we compete with. We see victory through winning that competition in our workplace, in our school life, in our home life with brothers and sisters, that we're all striving to be the best, to be the one that wins. We can look out in our culture and our society today, and we see this in every aspect of life. Churches in our homes and communities compete with one another to be the better church, to grow faster, to be healthier. Our parties that run our country do this in the same way. They compete with one another to win those elections, to win our favor, to win our vote, to be better, the best, the strongest, the fastest, the smartest. So when we see this language that our faith conquers the world, does our belief, does our faith conquer the world in that same way? By beating others, by conquering those around us, by trying to be the best faith that there is. Again, I think it's a weird verse that doesn't make a lot of sense on its own. But part of 1 John is reading this verse with the whole of 1 John. When we do that, I think 1 John leads us to read this verse in tension with the ways that Christ's faith conquers the land of Judah in his life before his death. That Christ's victory doesn't come from being the best Jew that was in the land of Judah. But Christ's victory, Christ's faith conquers that land by seeking an honest relationship with those around him. And we see Christ live that out by seeking a fellowship with sinners who cheat and wrong their neighbors. Like in the story of Zacchaeus, a tax collector, who did not live into that love for his brothers and sisters in need. Jesus sought a fellowship with him to conquer him through that love. That we see Jesus, his faith conquer the land of Judah by seeing those unlike him first and foremost as a child of God. Look in the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, this woman from an entirely different country. Jesus sees her and welcomes her as a child of God. That faith conquers the land of Judah in this ultimate way, by laying his life down for those who send him to the cross. That this love, this faith, conquers the world. Not by being the best, not by beating out the competition, not by winning all of the debates and discussions with the Pharisees, but simply through loving those around him first. And we see that most clearly at the cross, where Christ goes forth to lay his life down for those who send him there, where Christ goes to lay down his life for us in our lives today. That same faith that John talks about, that same faith that conquers the world, conquers us today. That we experience that love first here at the baptismal font, where Christ loves us and seeks that fellowship with us throughout our lives, brings us in to the fold of this community of faith. God makes us a child of God, worthy of that same love and grace that God gives to all. That through these waters we remember the ways in which Christ goes to lay down his life for us. That faith lived out through that love, so that we could be raised into a new life. We could be raised up into that new faith, that God pours this love into our hearts so that we may go out and pour it out for those around us in the world today. I think it's that faith, that belief in what Christ has done here through the cross and through the water, through the meal, that comes into our lives today to live this out in love, that this faith propels us forward to love God and to love others, simply because God first loves us. And it's through these waters, it's through this sign of the cross and through this meal that we know we won't always get it right. That there will be times in our life where we will struggle to live into that faith of love that conquers the world. That we are reminded, that we are taught that God still loves us and works around us and through us to conquer the world through that reckless, grace-filled love. Because God still first loves us. And God continues to conquer the world today with that faith and the ways that God invites us to live out that love for God and for one another. That God still invites us into that fellowship with him, that we see in that fellowship with those in our community and outside of our community. That we see that as God invites us to see those like us, ourselves, and those unlike us as those children of God whom we are invited to love. That we see that through the ways that God invites us to go forth, to lay our lives down for those around us, and to help those in need in all they have going on in life. And so as we come to the end, the beginning of the end of 1 John's sermon, this letter, where do you see God's invitation to live into that faith that conquers the world? To live into that invitation to go forth and remember this love that God has poured out for us, to share that love with all in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we give you thanks for the ways that you inspire our faith to conquer the world through a love for you and a love for our neighbor. Help us to go forth in our lives today to live out that love in the ways your servant John has inspired us to. To seek that fellowship in Christ and that fellowship with one another, to see those unlike us as children of God, to lay down our lives for those in need of help, in the ways that Christ has done and continues to do for us.
In the name of your Son, who has reconciled all things to you through the cross and the tomb. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.